Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, we have a very interesting topic. We are going to be talking about hidden commanders, or I've heard some people call them secret commanders. These are essentially commanders, but they're in your 99, a card that your decks build around that isn't actually your commander. And there's a few reasons you might want to do this with your deck, and there's some really cool examples of decks and commanders that are hidden commanders. So that's our topic for today. But before we get into all that, we got a crew to introduce, and we're going to kick things off with Budget Commander, probably better known as Tomer. How are you today, Tomer?
Hey, I've actually brewed a lot of these hidden commanders for myself and then for other people as well, too. So very excited to talk. I love this idea.
You gave me a hidden commander deck, the Norrin Rocko deck, which I built an actual Norrin deck, and then you gave me the Norrin Rocko deck, and I love that deck. So yes, I have one, too, thanks to you and your brewing. But we also have Morgan. Phil couldn't be here today. He's off doing Phil things. So we got Morgan filling in. How's it going, Morgan?
It's going good. Happy to be back. It's been a while. And I've also played a couple of these before. I've brewed a couple of these that I might build someday. And it was kind of fun researching this because there's not a ton of other people who have talked about it. So I think it should be a good conversation.
Yeah, I found that too. I was digging around through like old Reddit posts and MTG Salvation posts because it's just not a big topic. So anyway, we got one more co-host in Krim. Good morning, Krim. How's it going today?
Pretty good. I think I might have just brought a list full of morph commanders.
Oh.
Oh, really awkward.
Wait, no, that's
this
not
is
what
so
we
awkward.
Meant, Grim. No, no. Oh.
Not all right, I guess I can come up with some stuff.
I think what Krim meant was like, you know, when people are bringing out their decks and then you're like, ah, yeah, bracket 2, and then at the last minute, you swap your deck with Turgrid and you're like, surprise.
Bracket 2.
Yeah, actually.
Don't worry, guys, it's not that kind of Turgrid deck. It's fine.
It's fine.
I swear it never does this. Oh, so
well, as Krim is updating his list of cards to talk about today, let's get to our sponsors. So we got two sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtgoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So last week, we tier ranked some spot removal, and our top comment comes from @imaginarycreatures9760 says, I'll admit, I still find it funny having Seth hate Withering Torment so much for being a color pie break while singing the praises of Beast Within. And that is actually a very fair. I feel like my justification for this is I think it's just been normalized. Like, I remember Beast Within being a color pie break when they printed it like 15 years ago, but it's just become such a part of Commander that I don't even really think about it anymore. So I imagine if you give it another few years, I'll probably forget why I hated Withering Torment too. That's my guess. Eventually, I'll forget why I hated it, and it'll just be another Commander card that I play.
There was another comment that I saw that was actually kind of interesting too. The idea that enchantments are just harder of a permanent for colors to deal with, because artifacts have three colors, I believe, that can hit it: white, green, and red. Whereas enchantments only has white and green traditionally. So it just by this, like the color pie, it seems like it's skewed to being harder to deal with. So like giving black a couple ways of dealing with it. Seems like adding some balance to it.
I feel like good gameplay.
You know? I feel like that comment was from a Mark Rosewater burner account because that is always the WotC justification for moving enchantment removal.
Well, we'll circle back around in 20 years and
they're like, well, yeah, it's
fun.
Not balanced, right? Only two colors can kill her. Yes, of course, Marrow. Of course, yes, I know you're right. Anyway, we're not talking about removal this week. We're talking about hidden commanders. So before we get into our list of interesting hidden commanders, I gotta ask you guys, because I'm not sure how common of a topic this is, what is a hidden commander, and why would you ever build a hidden commander deck? You got a commander that you can have access to all the time. Why put the card you're built around in the 99 rather than the command zone in some cases? So, Tomer, you were saying you've built some of these decks. What's a hidden commander, and why would you build a deck this way?
Hidden commander, from how I would define it, at least, because we didn't talk about it ahead of time, but how I would define it is any card that is not your commander, something in the 99 that you're building your deck around.
I think that's
so. It could be a commander like Norin in a Rocko deck, for example. It's a legendary creature. It could be a commander itself, but you might put it in the 99 because you want access to more colors, for example.
Yep.
Like you take a mono red color, but it's not doing enough in mono color, so you put it in a multicolor deck and you find a way of tutoring it up consistently. But it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't have to be just a legendary creature. It could be anything in your deck. Like you could build, I've built a deck around Sunforger before that I will talk about. I've built around epic spells before as well. Those like horrible cards from Kamigawa, but they're hilarious to build around. Form of the Dragon. There's so many different ones. So it's basically like that. Just like take a thing that you generally put in the command zone, put in the 99. It could be any card, and you just build around it.
Yeah, I think of like alt win cons being some of my favorite like hidden commanders. I know Niatuk, our editor, who isn't here because he's editing, but he has like a Door to Nothing commander deck that he brought to one of the Magic Cons. It was super cool. And the whole goal of the deck was to like kill the table with Door to Nothingness. So I think that's an example of a hidden commander deck that definitely isn't a legendary creature. So I would agree. I think your definition was, I would agree with 100%. Doesn't have to be a legendary creature. It's something you build around in the 99. Morgan, what are some other reasons outside of color identity? So getting more colors in your deck, that's one. What are some other reasons someone might build a hidden commander deck?
I think that's the best reason. But some other reasons might be to maybe power down your deck because you're going to naturally have some inconsistency if the card you're building around is not in your command zone, right? That's maybe one of the, I wouldn't say it's a problem in Commander, but it's like one of the quirks of the format, right? Is that you have this like card that you're built around that you always have access to no matter what. You don't have to find it like a combo piece in a 60 card format, right? So it's a way to power down your deck a little bit, but also you can be sneaky with it by, you'll have your commander and your opponents won't know what you're doing. So if you just want to be a little, you want to be a little hipster about it, right? Like that's a good way to do it as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I think Turgrid, as I was like researching this, came up as examples of both of those things. I saw people be like, well, I had this Turgrid deck, but it was way too brutal for my play group. So I made a hidden commander Turgrid deck so that I wouldn't have it every game. If it dies, I don't have as many ways to just recast it. But then I also see people be like, oh, I had this Turgrid deck and my play group really hated it and they made me stop playing it. So I switched Turgrid into the 99 so they wouldn't know it was Turgrid and I could keep getting them. That sounds like the Krim technique. I can see Krim doing that. A little sneaky.
He's already doing that. He's playing Deadpool in the 99
deck. Yeah, that is true. Deadpool is Krim's hidden commander every
But he also has a Deadpool deck. It's just awful.
Yeah, I have both. I've been known to
enjoy artifacts, yeah. And I will not play Urza in the command zone, but I have a Tetsun deck. And I would consider bracket 3 plays very well there. And I put Urza as one of my game changers in the 99. And then sometimes, no tutors for it, but like sometimes it shows up and I'm very happy. But if it dies, guess what? It doesn't go back to the command zone. I could recast it easily. You know, like it's much lower power, as Morgan said.
It is
like Eureka. Right? That's the only way.
That's one of the other things about
changeling deck.
Powering down your deck is that by it not going back to the command zone if it dies, it makes your deck a little more glass cannon-y as well. Like you have to actively think about, oh, if I have a special card in the 99 I'm building around, I probably have to put more recursion or protection because you can't just recast it with commander text or something, right? You have to put in a little more work if you want to get it back if someone removes it.
Mm-hmm.
Krim, anything to add before we get to some actual examples of hidden commanders?
I think they nailed it on the head. Yeah. So I don't think I'd be, I'd just be reiterating what they'd say.
Hey. Well, let's jump into some Hint Commanders. And I'm going to start off because I got one I want to shout out because it's one of my favorite decks. And this is a deck that actually came to me first through Tomer. You gave it to me as a gift. So I've always been a Norn fan. Norn the Wary, one of my favorite cards. Just the one drop red creature that whenever anyone does anything, it blinks itself. And it just leads to like such an interesting like play style. There's nothing really like Norn in Commander. But Tomer, you gave me when I was at MagicCon Vegas, a Rocko Norn deck. If you don't know Rocko, Rocko's the 3-mana Naya legend. Then when it enters, you can pay X mana and you get to tutor up a creature of that mana value. So essentially the idea is if you play Rocko as your commander, you cast Rocko, pay X equal one, it finds Norn, and now you're a Norn deck that isn't mono red, but you actually get green, so you get ramp, you get white, so you get more blink effects and more interesting synergies. So I absolutely love that deck, and I think it's a really cool way to take advantage of Norn, and it works really well with Norn in specific, because Norn is so hard to kill. It doesn't really matter if it's your commander or not, because once you get it on the battlefield, it's really, really difficult for anyone to deal with it. So you can kind of afford to play it as a hidden commander and not really worry too much about removal. But Tomer, I know you built that deck originally. What do you think about that deck? What do you think about Norn as a hidden commander?
I think you nailed it. I think Norn might be one of the best hidden commanders out there, because like you said, with Rocko, you could always find it. Just cast Rocko, and I guess if Rocko gets countered or something, you could recast him later. It's fine. And then once Norn's on the battlefield, it's incredibly difficult to deal with. So it makes it very, very consistent. And then as long as the deck can run without Norn, which it should hopefully be able to, then you got a really good deck. And it's just cool to see a hidden commander that's so resilient, because a lot of them might have that issue, right? Like if you build around like some random artifact or something that has no inbuilt protection and it gets exiled, a lot of that game plan falls apart. But Norn kind of solves that with its bounce ability.
It kind of accidentally solves it. I think that Rocko is actually a really good example of the kind of commander that is really good for hidden commander decks, because it's a tutor on a stick, right? And I think that's the kind of thing that you're looking for, right? Is a commander of a hidden commander deck. What are some other commanders, as we get into these cards, what are some other commanders that like work especially well as the leader of a hidden commander deck? Is there anything else that jumps out to you guys?
I don't think this is the strongest way to do it, but you can just play like Polymorph or Cascade-y kind of, or Prismatic Bridge, if like there aren't many, if any, other targets for it to hit. That's an option. I have a buddy who has a I can't remember the name of it, but it's the blue commander that you like sack a legendary and then you like polymorph into a non-legendary creature, and the only non-legendary creature he has is that stupid giant 8/8 with Island Walk or whatever. And it's not a good deck, but I would say that's kind of a hidden commander deck. And so you could do it that way if your archetype supports it.
Yeah, isn't there like an infamous Aluna deck that's like 98 lands, Aluna, and then you like, you use Aluna with Mutate and it like spins into Does anyone know what I'm trying
and
to remember
like
what the finisher
or something,
is? Yeah, you
right?
spin into
like,
Omniscience and So I think that, the Polymorph plan is a really cool way to go about it. I would also say Tutor Commanders, Krim. What are some other good Tutor Commanders that could work well for hidden commander decks?
Tutor, like, what do you mean by tutor? Like, commanders that can tutor?
Yeah, like, I was thinking of Cloud, because I know you're a Cloud fan, but like, Cloud, if you want to build a hidden commander equipment deck, Cloud would be, or Kellen would be a pretty good commander for it.
Yes.
I mean, like, yeah, like, I think Cloud is the perfect one if you're like an equipment deck, right? But I mean, it's, I don't really play with tutors, right? Like, I don't like tutoring. So I just straight up,
that's a good point. So this is actually, I think Tomer brought this up. Do you think you need to play more tutors to play a hidden commander deck? And does it somehow like ruin the spirit of the format? Like, or can you run a hidden commander deck and still not really play tutors?
I think it's a bit of both, right? You can, it's whatever you want to do. It's just personally for me, I don't really like, you know, tutoring for it, because let's say I pack four tutors to find my hidden commander. After I find the first tutor, I cast it, I find my hidden commander. The next three are eventually going to come up, right? And at some point, what am I tutoring for, right? Probably the thing that'll actually win me the game, not my hidden commander, right?
Yep.
So I figure, like, if you play one tutor and you already have your hidden commander, it's It's just, why put myself in that situation? I'm going to let myself naturally just find it or run into it or draw it.
Yeah, it's easier with the specific narrow tutors, right? If it's like a piece you need to find with like an enlightened tutor or a worldly tutor, that's a lot different than if it's one of the more open-ended tutors. Because then what if you draw into those after you've already found your piece? Then it's the board wipe when you need or whatever, right? And
yeah.
I think that over smooths out the deck, and I think that's why a lot of people don't really like tutors. But I have a deck still that runs one of these things where we might end up having time to talk about today. And look, here's the thing. If I'm trying to do a jankety thing, I also personally don't really like tutors and Commander, but if I'm trying to do something jank, I want to make sure I do the jank thing. All right, I'm going to run the tutors. So
it's kind of, I'm like that too. Like if I'm playing a janky like bracket one deck, that's when I want the tutors the most. Yep. Like if I'm playing a bracket three deck, I'm like, whatever, I don't care. I'll just draw a bunch of cards. But when I'm playing a bad deck, I actually want them more. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Tomer, what's another hidden commander? Give us your favorite.
Are we going on to some of them?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I want to start with a bombshell. There's like some good ones, but then there's ones that just keeps getting disrespected. And you all mentioned Cloud. You know, we just mentioned Cloud. Mm-hmm. It's a cute little guy. Comes out on turn two. ETBs, finds an equipment, and then he has a Panharmonicon effect on equipments that are equipped to him, which I absolutely love. It's my favorite thing ever. And it's like aggressive and equipment-y. But the beautiful thing with Cloud is that ETB tutor up an equipment. So if you're built around an equipment, Cloud's your guy. Mm. Obviously, this is mono white, so it's a little bit restrictive on what you could get. But what I like to do, here's a hypothetical for you. Cloud, turn two, all right? You tutor up a card called Blade of Cells. Blade of Cells gives the equipped creature Myriad. Equip that onto Cloud on turn four, and you swing with Cloud. You get a Myriad trigger twice. So you attack one opponent. You have two other opponents in a four-player free-for-all game. So you normally would get just one copy of Cloud attacking other people, but because Cloud says it doubles the triggers, you actually get four Clouds. They immediately die to the legend rule, whatever. But the ETB trigger happens and you get to tutor up four pieces. And what do you get? One, Helm of Cauldra. Two, Shield of Cauldra. Three, Sword of Cauldra. Now the fourth one could be whatever it is, but it's Cloud. I'd say Buster's. No.
Okay, wow. I thought you were going to put
That's too
complete.
Easy. That's
no, Cauldra Complete's actually
wanna
a good card.
I want to
work for it. Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want to work. I want to work for my Magic the Gathering, all right? So you got Buster Sword. It's a Cloud staple. It also lets you ramp out the Cauldra pieces much easier when you have them on Cloud or whatever. And then you have all three Cauldra pieces, and you have this almighty First Strike, Trample, Haste, indestructible +5 creature. It's a 4/4 avatar, and you could pay one mana to always get it back over and over again. It's absolutely redonkulous. And then for the rest of the game, you have like this indestructible, cannot be beat avatar creature, and it doesn't matter how much removal's coming at you, Cauldra will continue to reform. And that is peak hidden commander. I rest my case.
Tomer, you're actually kind of cooking. Blade of Cells is a great hidden commander.
I never considered that, but yeah.
It's a mean
So what you're saying is all your decks are actually hidden commander Cauldra decks, Tomer, right? Or like half your decks, right? I feel like we've seen many decks built around this strategy.
I feel like this is the best one. I've had a Cauldra deck in paper since 2020, I believe. I've been playing it on Clash even longer. But I had a Boros version of it, and I just switched to Cloud, and it's great. Like, if there's a really heavy, like, removal-heavy table, and Cloud just keeps dying, all my creatures keep dying, just having all three Cauldra pieces on the battlefield is really, really good. They're all have indestructible. They're harder to deal with. And it's really, really solid.
I have good news for you, Tomer. I actually am a Cauldra enjoyer as well. But only because Captain America can throw it.
Whatever,
I'm surprised you don't like Cap. I mean, Cap is such a good equipment commander.
Cloud finds the pieces for you, though.
That's true. I mean,
that's the main thing.
Cap is really good with the pieces, but Cloud finds them. So
you simply play Cloud in Cap. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the Stoneforge and stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick. And I think Cloud is a really, really solid hidden commander. Are there any other equipment that would make good hidden commanders that you can think of? Like, Caldera is pretty iconic, I guess, at least in Commander Clash. What else? Helm of the Host, maybe? What other equipment would make a good, like, hidden commander deck?
Godo Helm?
Mm-hmm. Godo Helm,
is
yeah.
Godo Helm a hidden commander? Not so secret commander. Well, the classic one, Sunforger.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That used to be, like... when people were like saying Boros sucks, because that was like, I remember like 2011, that was like, oh, Boros garbage, unplayable. People would like go out of the way to make like Boros Sunforger control. And those were actually really spicy lists. And you could do that much easier now, obviously, like with Kellen. Kellen's like the adventure side of Kellen, you just pay 2 mana.
Yep.
You search up an equipment, you put Sunforger into your hand, and you go from there.
And honestly, the Blade of Selves is actually would be a cool hidden commander. Yeah, like now my brain's going with all the ideas, because there's so many cool attack triggers and stuff. So like doing the myriad's actually kind of spicy. Actually,
spike it might be my favorite equipment hidden commander. That's like such a like just giving a creature all non-legendary card names is like such a unique effect, and it's really a fun one to build a deck around. But anyway,
you've done it.
I did. It didn't go super well, but I tried. I tried very hard.
It was one of the things of all time. Yeah.
It was a thing. Yeah. So it was a thing I attempted. let's keep moving on. Krim, you haven't got a hidden commander yet. Give us one of your picks for hidden commanders.
I'm going to start with something kind of seems weird, but so I have a few decks that love connecting, right? Whether it's like Felix Five Boots or like, you know, my Gonti deck from Aetherdrift. That's like probably one of my favorite decks who have come out in the last year. Can't play it on Clash because it's impossible. But but yeah, like the card that's in that deck and a lot of the combat matter style decks for me that's a hidden commander has been Dothi Embrace. Dothi Embrace is a 2 and a black enchantment. Target creature gains shadow until end of turn, right? You could just, if you pay double black, you can give anybody that. So most of the time, this is going to make my deck go off. Right? Like, it is the deck, the main centerpiece of the deck, as I will trigger my Gonti, draw a million cards, right? Like, just get it from all y'all. Or, my personal favorite, too, is that it allows you to politic with me, and I can give you shadow.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And then, like, the best part is if I've got open mana and you want to give me the goods, I'll be like, well, if you want, I can give your creature shadow so you can block if you want. I'm just always open for deals, right?
Grim's always open for business.
Don't believe his lies.
But
I'm shouting it in class.
He's running away with it.
Gets away with it.
I don't know what you're talking about. But I will say that this card is a big enabler for any combat based black deck, and probably one. If I see this in my opener, this is almost always a snap keep as long as I have lands.
I mean, it's one of the best ways to begin in with your creatures, right? Like, it is, like, almost super unblockable because no one plays shadow creatures. So, yeah, it is a really good way if you got to connect with stuff for sure.
Even as not a hidden commander, I'm surprised I don't see this card more often. I've played it once or twice, and I have a buddy who's played in a couple decks, and I'm just surprised. It always punches up. Like, it's only, like, $2, so it's not like people are priced out of it. It's 3 mana, two to activate. I mean, if you get to the, like, late part in the game where the boards are just kind of clogged up, this is how you get in the last bit of damage you need. Yep. So like I'm surprised I don't see it more often. It's just actually kind of decent, even not as a hidden commander, just like play it fairly in a generic black deck with a decent amount of creatures. It just seems decent.
Yeah, no, it is. I think it is kind of an underrated card too. Anyway, let's move on to Morgan, what do you got for us hidden commander wise?
All right, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit out of experience, as take this as your dad telling you not to do something because he did it when he was younger, all right? So this is Gilt Leaf Arch Druid.
Yes!
which is for 3 green-green. It's a elf druid that says whenever you play a druid, you draw a card, and then you can tap 7 untapped druids you control to gain control of all lands target player controls, all right? So I used to have a deck built around this. So right after Rocco came out, I was like, I know exactly what I'm doing. And it's even better there, because both Rocco and the Guiltleaf Archdruid are both druids, so they can count towards that activation. And you know what else? A lot of druids are mana dorks, so they help you ramp into the X equals 5 a lot faster. So I was like, I'm cooking, dog. This is going to be great. And then you can also do like sneaky stuff like bracers and rings of Brightheart and stuff so that you can double it. So you can steal lands from multiple people. And then you can play Kamal and turn all those creatures into lands and turn those lands into creatures and kill your opponents with their own lands. Or you could just Zurn Orb out of spite to sacrifice them all to gain a bunch of life. And you know what? I thought it was a blast. I thought it was super fun. I'm telling y'all, I got to do the thing like 3 times and people were like, please don't do that again. So I'm warning you, this is probably like a one and done kind of deck. If you ever decide to build it, your opponents might be like, haha, funny. Don't do that again. So I'm just warning you, but it is one of the things you can do.
I love Guiltleaf Archdruid, and it's like the perfect choice for Hidden Commander, because it's a card that, like, if it was a legend, it would be so brutal if you actually had access to it in the command zone all the time. So I'm glad they make you do a little bit of work to actually, like, play it in the 99. You got to find a way to find it, but it's such a cool effect, and you can, like, really build around it, like you said. So yeah, I think that's a really, really fun choice.
Katie,
I had it in my Changeling Zach for
the
first editions. No, I did.
Oh, you did.
And I did it like twice. And then, first of all, everybody hated me. And then, second of all, anytime I brought out Changelings, people would just like auto lock on me, basically.
That's so weird.
Because they didn't want their things stolen. I was like, it's just a finisher, you guys. Don't worry about it. But like, yeah, no. I took so much aggro for it. I was like, okay, guys, you could stop now. I took it out of my deck.
I don't know how
that's
you.
Just like a little bit of a warning.
Your Changeling deck is nasty. So it's absolutely nasty. Even without this card, I can't believe you had this in your deck to begin with.
It's good value. It draws you cards.
It's good value.
It draws you cards and ramp.
If you think about it, stealing your opponent's lands, that's just like a really efficient ramp spell, right? Really?
It's
not even stats.
You know what? Yeah. That's fair.
It's draw and ramp. What else can you want from a card? Yeah.
All right.
One and done.
I got I think a good one. This one's interesting because it shows how a popular or somewhat popular commander can also be a really cool hidden commander. And I'm talking about Zadahedron Grinder. So Zada, kind of infamous combo commander, right? It's a 4-mana red 3/3. Whenever you cast the instant or sorcery spell that targets only Zada, you get to copy it for all your other creatures. So the only downside with Zada is it's mono red, right? Like, you only can play red spells with it. But there is a perfect commander that lets you play Zada as your hidden commander, and that is General Tazri. So General Tazri is a 5-mana 3/4 human ally. When it enters, you tutor up an ally. It turns out that Zada is a goblin ally. So you can just play this. You can use that to tutor up Zada. And then General Tazri has a Wooburg ability. So you pay one of each mana to pump your allies. So that makes it a 5-color commander. So essentially, it lets you build a Zada deck with all the crazy Zada shenanigans, but now you get green mana, you get blue for counter spells to protect your Zada. You get so many more options that you wouldn't have in a mono red Zada deck. So I think that General Tazri is actually a pretty sweet commander for hidden commander decks, and this might be even more relevant once we get to Avatar in a few months, because we're getting so many new ally legends.
Yeah.
So if there's some cool ally legends from Avatar that you don't really want to play in the 99, or you'd rather be like in a 5-color deck, like Appa's a really cool commander, the new like bison thing that when you play it, you kind of blink and can recast all your stuff, but it's only mono white. Could you imagine being a 5-color Appa deck? Like, that'd be really cool. So I think the General Tazri is like the perfect example of a commander that can be really good for it, and Zada's a really good thing to tutor up. But what do you guys think about General Tazri and finding Zada or other allies?
I haven't thought about General Tazri in so long. Oh my god. That's going to be amazing with like the new ally support, right?
Yeah.
But like, this card is just a card that, oh, man, I opened so many of these. I need this to be amazing. Oh my god. Yeah, I need this card to be amazing.
Let's go. Well, Zada is amazing. I think that is just better Zada, essentially. Because Zada's biggest weakness is just protection.
Yep.
In red, you have very precious few protection options. And like Tazri, it's like one more step which is, it is significant. I think it's 4 mana?
Tazri, I believe, is 5 mana, actually. 4 and a white, so 5 mana. So it's a little slower, but can you imagine all the white protection spells, like all the God's Willings, and you'll have infinite ways to protect Zada once you're in 5 colors.
Yeah, I would advocate it if you're not on a budget, basically. Like, what I like about Zada by the commander is just, like, you could do it for, like, $20.
Yeah.
And have a very powerful budget deck. Tazri is going to be a little bit harder to pull it off on that same level of budget. Probably not impossible, but it would be harder.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if you don't care about the budget, then it is a better option.
Well, you guys were joking around on the other podcast about the, is it an ally game, right? Like, you would look at a card and be like, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you said, especially once we have Avatar and we get a bunch more allies, it will be fun to kind of just skim through the allies and see if there are other neat allies that could be hidden commanders, because I haven't thought about Tazri in forever.
There's another cool one that I played against. It's like on a really old video too. That's Tazri, and it uses Mirror Entity as the hidden commander. It was basically a changelings deck, essentially, but it was kind of like, it wasn't using actual changelings. It was using Tazri to find Mirror Entity. Mirror Entity is a changeling, so it counts as an ally, and has an activated ability to turn all your creatures into allies. And he was using it alongside stuff like Atla Pilani, which says whenever, like, an egg you control dies, you get to, like, search your library, or you get to, like, just reveal a top card of your library and then put a creature onto the battlefield, the top creature. So he would play, like, a bunch of tokens, play Tazri, find the entity, then turn all your creatures into 0/0 changelings, which are eggs, and then just, like, jump everything onto the battlefield, like, all these things, all creatures off the top of your library onto the battlefield, which is a really unique take on this, like, changeling
That's
thing.
That's sweet.
That sounds super cool. I really like that idea.
Yeah.
Well, Tomer, what else you got for us?
Oh, okay. Well, I have another hidden commander that I like playing a lot, and it's in my Tetsun deck. Like I said, I am a big fan of the artifacts, and I like Tetsun because it's a little bit, it's Jeskai, and it has a lot of, like, the little flip artifacts and everything. But that's not the main reason why I built it. It's actually the latest iteration of Mech Titan. I'm kind of obsessed with Mech Titan.
Yeah.
I kind of like things that you take multiple things and then you put them together into one.
It's vehicle
big
Cauldra,
thing, like Cauldra.
Yeah.
Exodia. Yeah.
So I built, like, a lot of different Mech Titan variants ever since it was printed. I played it, like, on Clash 2. It was awful. But then I built it on Tetsun and it actually clicked. And I have, like, a bunch of different, like, special Mech Titan tokens that I got over the time.
Nice Ava unit.
Yeah.
I forgot you watched Evangelion. That's right.
Well, I watched it when I was like 10, which not a good a choice.
Not a good choice at all.
but it is a great show. So Mech Titan, for those who don't know, it's a vehicle. You can pay 5 mana, exile it and 4 other artifact creatures and or vehicles you control. You create the mighty Mech Titan, a legendary 10/10 construct artifact creature with flying, vigilance, trample, lifelink, and haste, and it's all colors. And then when that token leaves the battlefield, you return all cards exiled with Mech Titan Core, except for Mech Titan Core, to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control. It's just like a big beater. It's a big beater. Hits you really, really hard. And I used to be, like, super cute with it. I made, like, a bunch of tokens, and then I used, like, Bruticlad and stuff to turn all those into that tokens. They're legendary. So then you also have to use, like, Mirror Gallery or whatever to get around the legend rule. It was a whole thing. Not worth it. Now I just find Mech Titan and I smash. It's like 10 damage. It's enough.
Did you pull that off on Clash once? For some reason, I feel like I have this, like, memory of a whole bunch of Mech Titan cores, like, being on the battlefield. And it had to be you, because I don't know who else would be doing
way
that.
Way too much work.
Definitely not me.
Way too much work.
Okay, so I used to have an Ozgear the Reconstructor deck, and I had Mech Titan Core in the 99, and I only got to do the thing once, and the next turn, it was immediately Austere Commanded, and I was the big sad. There was a sneaky thing about it that actually made me think, wait, this card is actually still good, which is that because you get everything back that you exiled with it when it gets removed, it's kind of a weird protection piece as well. Mm. So I think if your deck just runs a decent amount of artifact creatures and or vehicles, like, this is probably worth just putting in there. I mean, it's 5 mana to activate, but it is a way for you to, like, protect important creatures and stuff.
I never really thought of it that way, but that is a good point.
Your Sultans, too. Just, like, you get value, even if the things... even if the Mech Titan actually gets defeated, which it would never.
No, who would ever do that to Mech Titan?
Who would ruin Mech Titan?
let's move on to Krim. Krim, give us another hidden commander.
Okay. So it's kind of weird because the next hidden commander is like a tutor, but it tutors whatever you want, and it usually wins the game consistently for me if I keep him. It's Iron Man. So, you remember him from Iron Man, Titan of Innovation, 3 blue-red, flying haste, and whenever Iron Man attacks, create a treasure token that you may sack a non-creature artifact. If you do, get an artifact through your deck, whatever the cost of the sack thing, +1. So it's pod, right? It's a swinging pod for artifacts. So artifacts are already broken. And so, but every time I have Iron Man, I play no tutors, right? I don't even play Iron Man in a pure artifact deck. I play Iron Man in my Captain America deck, and he just gets me whatever equipments I want.
And like the mighty Sword of Cauldra.
Like, yes, actually, yes. Because when Cap throws Sword of Cauldra, it's so good, right? But
I mean, it is good, so yes.
Sure. Okay, yes. I just got to say, though, Iron Man in every shell that I've put him in, when I keep him and when I swing, it just takes over the game, right? Because Iron Man himself is a problem, but then the thing that I'm getting is equally a problem, if not more. So you kind of have to figure out, what am I going to deal with if I can only answer one? So you do need to have a mass artifact removal, whatever, some kind of Vandal Blast, and that's assuming I don't have counter magic, right? So I really, really like Iron Man. I think he is too strong, though, to be in a command zone. He is way too strong to be in the command zone to consistently have access to, because 5 mana is not, it's kind of like when you put a big mana thing in green, it's not really that cost because artifacts just poop out treasures and ways all day long, right? So Iron Man being 5 is not really that bad, and I think he's too busted at commander, and if he gets dealt with, that is where he should be. He should be dealt with, and that's that.
Yeah, and the treasure even like pays half the command tax because it makes a treasure when you attack, so it cheats on the command tax. So this would be an example of a hidden commander that's trying to power down the deck a little bit, right? That is just like oppressive to be the commander. So you're putting it in the 99 instead. What'd you say? Yeah. Captain America is the main deck that you play as a hidden commander?
I love teaming them up, but that's for comic book reasons. And then on top of that, they just happen to pair well nicely together because I can get whatever artifacts I need to get.
Yeah, I agree that it's kind of too strong as a commander. Like, I think it was Phil played this on Clash when it came out, and he got punished just because everyone was, like, scared. It's like, it could be anything. So having it not right there where everyone can see it and there's an imminent countdown of doom, it's better to keep it hidden. But you can do cool shenanigans with it, so I like it.
Do you think
didn't we get steamrolled by Storm in that game?
Yes.
Well, no. Like... It was Phil who was winning most of the game, and then it was me on Storm who quietly just
and then Storm out of was cast.
Yeah.
Oh, Storm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I hadn't really thought about Iron Man as a hidden commander, but that's a really good point about just how strong it is, because it is a really fun card, but maybe a little too much in its current form. Well, let's move on.
Did you break your vow on shuffling because Iron Man, Krim?
On shuffling? Iron Man.
Yeah, because you said you don't like shuffle. You don't like tutors.
I don't like tutors.
You don't like tutors in command. Iron Man.
I don't like
pretty
Iron
specific,
Man,
though.
That is a
I
good
don't
point.
Like green, right? But Black Panther got me to make a green deck. So maybe
so
all it needed was
you
a
just
Marvel,
like Marvel, I see.
A hint of Marvel, yeah. You know?
Doctor Who? No, what's his
get
name?
Out of here. Get out. Don't you dare disrespect baby boy behind me. Doctor Strange.
I don't remember his name.
Doctor Strange.
The same thing. They're both Time Lords. If Doctor Strange took extra turns, would you play him?
I came to grips with that. I was like, if he were an extra turn card, I would probably play him. Cause I
Wait, doesn't he have the Time Stone?
Well, no. Not anymore in the movies, but yeah.
But that's like, he is a Time Lord, technically.
Sure,
then.
Sure,
yeah.
He is the Lord of Time. Whatever, mm-hmm. Yeah, same difference. But
he's
yeah,
the strange Doctor Who, yeah.
Yeah, the strange Doctor
Who. Or Dr. Orpheus, for all you Venture Bros.
That's not throwback.
Let's keep moving on. Morgan, I think you're up. What's another good Hidden Commander?
Sure. So next up I had Soulfire Grand Master, which is for one and a white. It's a human monk from Fate Reforged, I think. It has lifelink. Instants and sorcery spells you have lifelink. And then you could pay two and then hybrid is it. The next time you cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand this turn, you put that card in your hand instead of the graveyard. So there actually is a semi-similar commander that is Firesong and Sunspeaker, which says red instants and sorceries you control have lifelink is the part that's really similar. But it's just Boros. This gives you access to blue as well, which I think if you're talking instants and sorceries, that's got to be upside. You got all your payoffs, you got all your cantrips, you're going to do all your shenanigans. Blue doesn't add a lot in the wake of damage, although there are some Izzet cards that do it. There are some Boros cards that do it, just not a lot of standalone blue cards. But I just think it's kind of cool to have another option for that style of spell slinger.
I feel like this is a card, if you ever read just like the internet with people talking about cards they wish were legends so they could play them as a commander, I feel like Soulfire Grandmaster is one that comes up a lot. Like so many people are like, I wish I could play as your commander. So just play as a hidden commander. Like it's almost as good. Yeah. Like it's almost as good. And it is a super cool effect. But what were you going to say, Tomer?
The only thing I hate is like I see that it's a very common Reddit thread. And I don't really check Reddit anymore, but what I used to. Soulfire Grandmaster would always be the top comment would be like, yeah, wouldn't it be so cool if I could play an extra turn spell and then pay four mana and put it back in my hand?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
hold on,
that's what you want to do if you're hitting commanders. You could choose anything as your commander. It's just like, oh, I want to rebound my extra turn spells.
I just think,
but I like the burn. Yeah, the burn is so cool.
The gaining life off your burn spells is so cool.
Yeah. Yes. And then you could put Firesong also in the 9/9 as more like, because it's gets exiled or something, then you have another way and then play like a cool burn style deck. That's cool. I like it.
I just have nostalgic memories of this card. So this is like standard fun for me, right? Like pay for
this whole cycle was sick, right? Like
no,
color had like
this was like last breath and like a way for me to just get like some of my stuff back, right? Like just to get my removal spells back in standard. So it was like really fun in Jeskai. Oh man.
I don't mean to make y'all feel old, but this I just found out about this card like last year. Because it came out a year before I even started playing Magic.
I thought Morgan was gonna say like before I was born or something.
I'm not quite that. Yeah,
I remember when that card was spoiled and people were like so hyped about it for like stand. This was before Commander was like what it is today. This was back in the Standard era, and people were like, oh my god, the card's gonna be so good, and then it never saw any play.
Did it actually
see real play in Standard?
Yeah. It was like a sideboard piece. You know, one or two.
Okay.
Okay.
I can see that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's go back one more round of Hidden Commanders. And I gotta steal. I know Morgan, you actually added this to your list, but I'm gonna steal Wild Pear because I actually played a Wild Pear Hidden Commander deck. And I still, this was way back in 2018. I looked up the deck list. You can find it on Commander Clash, back in the Moto era of Commander Clash. And this was actually a viewer-submitted deck, I believe, by Zero Dame. And the deck was called Wild Bears. And the whole idea of the deck is you play Wild Pear, which is a 6-mana enchantment that says when a creature enters the battlefield, if you cast it, search your library for a creature with the same total power and toughness, put it on the battlefield, and then shuffle. So the idea was you would play Wild Pear. Ramos Dragon Engine was the commander, just to be 5 colors. It didn't have any specific synergy. It just wanted all 5 colors. And then every creature in the deck was a 2/2, or the power and toughness added up to 2/2. So it was based on grizzly bears. That was the wild bear part. So it had 45 creatures, and when you play one, you could tutor up essentially any other creature in the deck. The deck was really funny. I thought it was really unique. I know we talked about Wild Pear not that long ago, and some people are like, I don't know. It might be a little bit too like pushed or whatever, but I thought it was a really fun hidden commander, and it was a hidden commander that really exemplifies, I guess, the downside of Hidden Commander, which if you killed it, then it's kind of gone forever and the whole deck falls apart. But if you actually stick the wild pair, the deck can do some really fun things.
I don't even know if that's true because you're in green and green is really good at recurring things. So you got like regrowths and eternal witnesses.
What are
stuff.
They 2/2s, Morgan?
Oh, good point. Good point.
That's the challenge.
If it gets exiled, I remember there was one tech in green that was like, it was
Rift
like
Sweeper.
Rift Sweeper, yes. And I remember one time I was trying to make Cauldre work on Clash, infamously, and I had Rift Sweeper, Pull from Eternity, a lot of ways of getting stuff from the graveyard, and also from Exile. And I had two Cauldre pieces already in my hand, and then Crim Gaunted me and exiled a piece face down, like three cards face down of Gaunty, and one of them was one of the three Cauldre pieces, and I had no way of getting it back because he refused to cast it.
No.
So I just had no way of getting a thing exiled face down.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the most lucky nonsense thing ever. I had the other two pieces in my hand. It was insane. But anyway, yeah, Rift Sweeper is good for wild pair.
Speaking of Tomer getting wrecked by Hidden Commanders, do you remember Burning Inquiry? What's the like 3-mana enchantment when you cast something from your graveyard, you get 2 damage? Is it Burning Inquiry? No, that's the Burning Vengeance. Burning Vengeance.
Yes.
Do you remember building Burning Vengeance is like a Hidden Commander deck on Commander Clash, Tomer? And Crim, turn one just milled everyone and it mills your Burning Vengeance and you had no way of redoing it because you were and you were just like out of the game from turn one.
I don't remember that game, but I'm so mad now.
Yeah.
Why do you hate fun?
I thought you were memeing. I was like, I don't choose what I mill, right?
Yeah,
I'm just like, at random.
It's
all random.
I don't remember it, but I'm just upset. More upset.
10 years of angst all building up.
Guys, remember what I mill? I mill a lot of cards in my duration.
That is.
You'll just see like next Commander Clash, I'm just like really upset and I just full send
it. Yeah, going at Crim. Yeah, for something that happened 10 years ago.
This full send at me.
It's 7 years ago.
Hey, you held on to the strip mine commandeer mana crypt for a long time.
I am known to hold grudges.
Yeah. Grudge holder. Well, give us one more Hidden Commander.
Okay, so this is a recent one. I recently built. I have a mono red deck that I've disassembled and reassembled for a very long time. It used to be Purphoros Sneak Attack. I liked it, but it was a little bit too strong, and it just like did nothing and then won the game. And I didn't really like the play pattern. And I took it apart and I made it Inti, and I really liked it, except it was too complicated for my tiny smooth brain. Because it's just like so many triggers. Like Inti is all about like whenever you're discarding, you exile a top card, you can impulse draw, you can play it until the end of your next turn or whatever like that. And I had so many triggers in that thing. There was like so many things like when you discard a card, you can exile that card, you can play it until another turn. When you discard a card, you can like exile under this and you could turn into treasure. When you discard a card, you can make a treasure. It was blah, 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 blah. And we feel like if the deck's popping off, like my brain just dies. And I literally, the last time I played it, I had like the entire team helping me like figure out all the triggers. Anyway, nonsense. I love the deck, but I'm too stupid for it. So I turned it into Clive, and it's a little bit different now. Clive is when it ETBs, you may discard your hand, then you draw cards equal to your devotion to red. And I turned it into a mono red blink deck, and I really liked it because finally I could actually run what I really wanted to run in mono red. All this time, I wanted to build a Kiki Jiki deck this entire time. So Clive is a mono red blink deck. It's all about all these ETB creatures and blinking them for value with these red copy effects. It's just Kiki Jiki, you guys. It's just a Kiki Jiki deck. No, but yeah, I know if I put this in the command zone, if I put this in the command zone, everybody would be gunning for me. They'd be like, oh no, it's Homer's Kiki Jiki again. And like, yeah, I am. But I don't want you to know that. It's Kiki Jiki. There's a Zealous Conscript. There might be some other Kiki combos in there. But yeah, it's a Kiki Jiki deck. It's just it's a secret.
If I see you
is paid off.
If I see you playing red, I just assume it's a hidden Kiki Jiki commander deck, Tomer. Every time.
Almost never.
Actually,
but this time,
Everyone assumes you have Kiki combos.
I know.
Actually, I don't know the schedule of this, but I know you did play Clive on a Commander Clash. It's either like just gone up or it's going to just be
next
going
week.
Up.
Or
it's
this week, later okay. this week.
It's going to be coming up on Friday. So if you want to see you want to see the Clive deck in action, check out Commander Clash on Friday, because Tomer's actually going to be playing it next Commander Clash. All right, Krim, what's your last pick for Hidden Commander shenanigans?
Okay. They're kind of in the same deck, and I can't decide between them because they're both kill on sights. And so obviously Bruvok, we all know Bruvok, the Grandiloquent, right? Doubles all your milling if any time an opponent would mill. But okay, that card, okay. Yeah, that's one of my hidden commanders, but I can't, okay, it's that or Mesmeric Orb, right? Like, I love Mesmeric Orb so much.
Yeah, same
thing. And I know they're the same card, like, deck, but, like, oh, God, I love these two cards. They are so much fun, and they both pair very nicely with, example, like, the Mesmeric Orb and the new Water Crystal. That's in the same mill deck. That's usually just, like, a win, right? Like, there's very few ways that I lose if I get to keep that for a cycle.
Can you tell the audience what those two cards do? Because
So,
Mesmeric Orb is kind of new.
Mesmeric Orb is whenever an opponent, anybody, untaps a permanent, they would mill one card. So that is one instance of a mill per untapped permanent. Then you have the Water Crystal, which is 2 blue-blue. Whenever an opponent mills, they mill that much plus 4. So every permanent is 5 cards, right? And the activated ability is like vanilla
every
text.
Single one.
Yeah. I feel like you will never lose the game if you have these two together. That's all I'm going to say. And I think that it's more of Mesmeric Orb needs to be killed on site. That's probably my hidden commander here. Like, that card has done work numerous times. I remember, who did we have guest appear? Like, back when the Moto days, I think it was either Jeremy, right? From, like, the SCG crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes on.
Oh, he hates Mill.
And
Absolutely hates it.
I had the turn two. It was on Moto. I had the turn two Mesmeric Orb. That
I remember this
there.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. And it just straight up milled everybody.
This is just like Krim being the problem every single time, because now I'm thinking, like, what's the other hidden commander that Krim would love would be like counterbalance? Yeah. I remember when Gavin showed
Leyline
up
of the Void
on Commander Clash and he got blind counterbalance like 6 times in a row. Really, 6 times in a row.
The game took like 4
and he never
hours.
Came back on ever since.
Gavin, come play Commander with us.
Yeah. Please come back.
He never came back. Yes. Yeah, he never came back.
This Krim is just, we're just learning something today together. This is an intervention, actually, Krim.
I actually think Bruvok is a cool... I mean, Mesmeric Orb's kind of busted, and that's a good choice, too. But I think Bruvok is interesting to me as a hidden commander, because you could play it as your commander, because it's a legend. But then you're stuck in mono-blue, and I could imagine Bruvok being, like, a really good, like, Phoenix hidden commander, because Phoenix, it actually, like, cares about toughness, so you can tap Bruvok, and you got the mill shenanigans. So I could see playing, like, a Bruvok hidden commander deck that just wanted to add a couple extra colors and not be mono-blue to my mill deck, and playing it in the 99 instead.
Like, adding you could black. Play Hope as your commander.
Oh, yeah.
And then and then that gives you access to Enlightened Tutor so you can find the orb.
Yeah.
Or I don't even need to do that. You see, I'm just gonna gain life because I'm not a mill deck in Hope. I'm a life gain deck.
It's not a,
so,
it's not a mill deck.
Not,
it's not a mill deck. It's a life gain deck.
All right. Morgan, last pick. Take us home.
All right. So this is actually one that I got inspired by Richard. Richard played this on Commander Clash a season or two ago. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what deck it was. I couldn't figure out who his commander was, what the theme was. So I'm going in the dark here. But this is Lost in the Woods, which is...
I think it was a viewer deck.
What was it?
Was it a viewer deck?
I think it was a viewer deck.
Oh, it might have been a viewer deck. But this is for three green-green. It's an enchantment that says whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, you reveal the top card of your library. If it's a forest, you remove that creature from combat, and then you put the revealed card on the bottom of your library. So, like I said, Richard played this. I tried to find the deck list. I couldn't find it. So I kind of brewed my own version of it. And guys, this deck rules. I love top deck manipulation stuff. I love cards that say, look at the top of your library. You can, like... especially if you put this in like a Simic deck, then you could play all the brainstorms and stuff. But then you can also play like Sensei's Divining Top, and you could play your fetch lands to reshuffle and change the top. And I think the version that was the viewer deck that Richard played 69 for us, which is just nice. So it's just kind of funny. And yeah, it's not good. This is not the best Hidden Commander you could have, but it's funny.
Oh, it's definitely funny. It reminds me, there was like this kind of notorious meme draft deck with Lost in the Woods back when this was first printed, where you would get into Lost in the Woods and draft, and if the matchup wasn't going well, you go to sideboarding, and you would sideboard out all your non-land cards and sideboard in up to like 60 cards and just have them all be forests and just try to mulligan into Lost in the Woods and trust that your opponent would mill out because you would all the damage would
be. Oh my god,
yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so there's definitely some shenanigans with Lost in the Woods. The challenge is finding it, right? If you're playing 60 forests one Lost in the Woods, what are the odds of finding it? But yeah, it's a super cool, just like a super unique effect. Fact. And yeah, the Richard deck was a cool example of it too. Yeah,
that is so funny.
Anyway, I think those are our Hidden Commanders. Any final thoughts on Hidden Commanders in general on the way out the door today as we wrap things up? I know one thing you mentioned, Tomer, is you can kind of pivot into a toolbox deck from a Hidden Commander deck.
Mm-hmm. For example, Sunforger decks. You don't have to be all in on Sunforger. It can sometimes just enhance what you're doing. Same thing with like Norn, like Rocco. If you lose Norn, your deck doesn't like completely fall apart, and you could also probably like tutor up other things with Rocco as well. I think like commanders that inherently tutor up, they can pivot usually.
Yeah.
Because you can just tutor up other things.
Sisay Weatherlight Captain is another big one. Ooh, like if you have a legendary that's your hidden commander or whatever, because
like called your pieces.
Yeah, it's really easy to pivot with Sisay because there's a lot of busted other legendary creatures, but then there's also legendary artifacts and enchantments and legendary planeswalkers and stuff like that. So it's really easy to just kind of pivot and make it a toolboxy deck if that's your commander.
At the risk of making this podcast go too long, I got to ask you guys one practical question for the viewers out there. So let's say a viewer wants to build a Hidden Commander deck. They've never done it before, and they want to try out this interesting theory. Do you build your deck differently if you're building around a Hidden Commander? Like, are you playing more ways than you would normally play to, like, recur your Hidden Commander? Are you playing more ways to find your Hidden Commander? Like, do you have to build your deck in a different way to successfully have a Hidden Commander deck compared to having a deck where you play a normal commander and you just keep recasting it from the command zone? Like, does it influence your deck building at all, you think?
I think that it's funny that, you know, I'm thinking of this now because you brought up Norn the Wary, right? That is a deck where I feel like it builds itself entirely just around Norn the Wary and other Norn the Wary effects, right? So yep. I played against someone, and luckily Captain America is very good at throwing his shield at Norn the Wary. So,
oh, yeah, that is an actual way to kill it.
You're not casting a spell, so...
Yeah, and so I was able to answer Norn and the white variant of Norn that blinks itself.
Salt-skitter.
Yeah, I kept answering them, but they kept bringing it back. So, like, I thought we were done with it, and it's like, oh, I'll just return it from the graveyard. And it's like, no, the shenanigans continue.
Okay. Oh, buddy.
So I think the short answer is, yeah, you do build around it, right? Especially if you're Norin, but maybe some other hidden commanders you don't necessarily build around as much, and that's the beauty of it, is because they are secretly your commander, but they don't require you to build around it.
So it also depends on what you're trying to build around. Like if you're building around a sorcery, like I did Eternal Dominion one time, and it's a sorcery. So all I care about is actually the thing not being countered.
Yep.
So I would run Boseiju, the old Boseiju that says like if you tap mana for this, the spell can't be countered. That would be more important to me than like having recursion or anything. Although, like, you know, if you get milled or something, that would suck. So you probably want to find some, like an Archaeomancer or something. And also, same thing with my favorite one. It's bonus. Sorry, Doomsday Excruciator. I'm kind of obsessed with this card. It just makes everybody like exile all of their library up until like six cards left or something like that.
That card is so much.
And I love that as a hidden commander. And that one is an ETB trigger. So you just want to make sure it doesn't get countered. So you have Cavern. You make sure you have Cavern of Souls and you try to tutor it up if there's like a blue player at the table before you go for it.
Do you play? Oh, go ahead, Morgan.
I was just going to say that I think it really depends on if your hidden commander is like absolutely necessary for your deck to function, or if it's a matter of it's just like a really strong combo piece or synergy piece or something like that. Because a couple of these examples, not some of the ones we talked about, but a lot of the ones that are on the sheet that we didn't get around to are like bordering on combo piece or bordering on just like really strong synergy piece. And at that point, just go in on the synergy if you find it cool. If not, your deck probably still function. But if you need it, then yeah, it totally changes how I think. I'm running more tutors. I'm running more card draw. I'm running more protection. I'm running more recursion. But it really just depends.
Yeah.
You can have like...
Okay, don't worry.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to ask you, in your Cauldron decks, do you play like Pull from Eternity and like Karn? Do you have like plans to get them back from exile if you're doing Hidden Commander Cauldron? No.
I've stopped caring. I just accept it.
Just YOLO it.
After like 10 years of trying to assemble Cauldron, you guys exiling it face down, exiling it in general, countering it, and exiling my library.
It doesn't matter.
It's just fine. I just try to, I'll beat you with other equipment, I guess. Yeah. Also, there's sometimes that there's extra redundancy. Like, I think we forgot to mention Xur, Astral Slide Xur.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's like a very classic one. Xur lets, whenever it attacks, you get to search your library for an enchantment, mana value 3 or less. And Astral Slide is like, whenever you cycle, you can blink something. It's a delayed blink. So it exiles and then comes back at end step. And you could build like a full like cycling Xur deck based on that. But there's two. There's not just Astral Slide. There's like another one.
Is the Modern Horizons 2 one, yeah.
And Xur can get both of them. So if the first one goes away, it's not that big of a deal.
Yep.
And then you could also just run other things that, you know, like ETB gets a enchantment from your graveyard or something if it goes away. But like if one of them gets removed, it's not a big deal. You have the same exact same copy of it with Astral Drift. So
the answer is basically it depends on the deck. I think is the final answer. And do what's right for your specific deck. But anyway, those are Hidden Commanders. Let us know what you think. Do you have a favorite Hidden Commander? Have you ever built this style of a deck? Let us know in the comments. Are there other Hidden Commanders that are really sweet? Let us know about that too. And we'll be back next week to talk some more Commanders. So until then, have an amazing week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.